of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Buenos dias, amigos, or whatever the next word is. Good morning. Oh, good to be back. Good to see you all. We did have a wonderful week. The temperatures were between 75 and 80 every day, pretty much. So tried not to get burnt, and don't think I did. Some of you know, maybe some of you don't. Anne is not with me today because she's still there. No, just kidding. She didn't pass her COVID test, which you do have to have. No, our nephew's funeral memorial service ended up being yesterday morning, so we changed tickets. We knew this right before we left. We changed tickets and got her a flight to Houston and Phoenix, and so she was able to be there, which was very good. And then she'll fly back tomorrow afternoon. God willing, our flights went well. It was a wonderful time and very relaxing. So thanks again for your prayers. Other announcements. Also, we come back and the floor in Jennifer's office has been replaced and the library. So thanks to Lee Guthmiller and others that helped in the process of that, moving everything out. Hey, there's the screen, praise the Lord. Moving everything out, and the library committee for all their hard work. And I don't know if everything's back in place yet, or, yeah? Okay. So the library committee, Ann Ramos, Jenna Miller, and Kristen Heckenleibel serve on that. So let's just give them a thanks here for what they do. Ann Ramos's turn is up really here. So I don't know if there's someone else who'd like to come on that committee. You can talk to Jennifer Herbolt or to Kristen Heckenleibel or Jenna Miller if you want to know a little more about it. So thanks for doing that, ladies. Other things here. The Alpha Center, of course, last Sunday we had that special offering for them. I know a lot were gone. We didn't have Sunday school and all that. So if you wanted to give, we still left that plate there this morning. If you wanted to give to the Alpha Center and their work, they do such an amazing job and ministry for the unborn, working with women and men, as far as that goes, who think their only option is an abortion, and they show them, no, there are many other better options. So that plate is still there if you wanted to give something. We do have coffee hour after church today, and we are receiving new members today, too. So hopefully they can stay for coffee hour, and you can get to know them and greet them and welcome them. If you are members of the church already, then that's part of your responsibility, is you go out of your way to the new members. Now, many of these you've probably known most of your lives, but still, you welcome them, get to know them. If you don't, and reach out to them. The women of the church having their annual business meeting after service today, I guess down in the high school room or one of the rooms down there, where it's, as it says, they make decisions about money that's going to mission work. Eighth grade parents, you know, we'll meet at the back of the sanctuary just briefly about Confirmation Sunday after everyone is ushered out. Annual meeting is next Sunday. We have dinner after church. The consistory is hosting that this year. I believe we're having pork loin. Correct? Where's Steve? Yeah? Okay. Yes, pork loin sandwiches and everything to go with it. So, and the meeting will start at 12:45. So you're, of course, all invited to the lunch and to stay for the meeting, too, would be wonderful as well. The nominations to consistory, those I need to read in accordance with the with our Constitution. Tim Fryer, it's been, is Tim back here today or no? Okay. Nominated to serve as elder first term. That would be in the position that David Herbolt had. Ron Schaefer, he's down at the prison this morning ministering. It's been nominated as elder first term. That would be in Justin Plooster's spot. Have to make that clear. Ben Crick, nominated for his second term as deacon. And Daniel Schaefer, nominated as first term deacon in Matt Fisher's spot. There can be nominations from the floor, as it says, at the annual meeting. Okay, a lot of announcements there. The rest I will let you read. As you have time, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do worship and praise you on a glorious day today, the day that you've made. And Father, you've created us to have fellowship with one another. We are the body of Christ, and you are the head, Jesus, of your church. And help us to honor you and serve you and magnify you and love you. We do, Lord Jesus. And we love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as I always know this, Father, is a time when we've been gone, how extra meaningful it is to come back together as we miss each other. And our lives are all intertwined, and you knit us together by the Spirit of the living God as the different parts that make up this body. So, Lord, thank you most of all for your presence here, the presence of the Spirit of the living God. And we want to be careful to honor you and praise you and magnify you and glorify your name, for you are great and greatly to be praised. And, Father, you are the reason we are here today. So thank you for moving mightily among us in this place and filling this sanctuary with your glory and your goodness and the power of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing number 3, our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. Such a beautiful hymn that we all know so very well. Take a moment and greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Okay, joys and concerns. I have several things here, notes written down that I'll say first. For Tim Fryer's mom, Sadie Fryer, she lives in the Scotland Care Center there. She's 99. Now, I mean, she didn't pass, did she? Grandma. His grandma. Sorry. Grandma, thank you. But she didn't pass, did she? Okay. I know she has not been doing well. His grandma. Thank you. See, I need Anne here to correct me. You got to help me out. But I was told this morning that Lloyd Sorlene did pass last night. So prayers for, let's see, his wife's name is Geneva. Prayers for them and the family. Also, Gary Gramko, Gary's brother Robert, passed on Tuesday, I think it was this week, yeah. And his prayer service is down at Avon at the Zion Lutheran Church. Visitation this afternoon at 3, prayer service at 4, and funeral tomorrow morning at 11, all at the church there. Okay, so prayers for you guys. Robert Gramko. Also, Elton Herbolt, he just still struggling. He is in the hospital since, I'm not sure if it's Wednesday or Thursday. There seems to be they found there's an infection there, so they did a culture. They're treating it with a more of a broad spectrum antibiotic now, and hopefully today we'll have better results to zero in on that more. But he's doing okay otherwise. I mean, he still has a great attitude and teasing the nurses. Also, Nyla Billings, her co-worker Teresa, this one on the prayer chain today, is now she went up to Sioux Falls, I guess. Is she still in the ER there, or you're not? They up and down, okay. It's COVID for her second time. She is pregnant with child. So be praying for her, Teresa. God knows her, who she is, and her last name. Also, Tyler Ulmer is having surgery on Tuesday. There you are, Tyler. Yep, what they thought was a stress fracture for these months, really, they realized it's a torn tendon in your foot, ankle. Okay, so surgery Tuesday at the specialty hospital. We'll be praying for you, Tyler. Okay, I think that covers what I had down. Anything else over here? Jesse? Okay, Brian Gehring's birthday was the 14th. Mike Walters was the 17th. Hallie's was yesterday. Happy birthday to all of you. 17, okay, yep. Daniel.
Nicole's birthday today.
Nicole. It ends with a zero. Nicole Schaefer, happy birthday today, ending with a zero. Nice to be 30, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good for you. Yes, Barry. Okay, wonderful. Prayers for Barry and Deb and family. They're going to Chicago this week for Logan Schmidt's graduation up in the Navy, this first graduation. So give him our love and greetings and congratulations to him. All right, wonderful. Tyler. Jake Law had a birthday last Monday. 41. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Yes, Kaylee. Yeah, Krista Derby. His birthday was last week, Tuesday. Happy birthday, Krista. Lots of birthdays. Cassie.
Okay, Geneva and Lloyd Sarlene. Geneva's sister also died yesterday.
Oh. Okay, sorry to hear that. All right, update on with Geneva Sorling. Her husband Lloyd passed yesterday, and Geneva's sister also passed yesterday. Goodness, all right, so lots of prayers for them. That there's sort of relation, is there? With or?
Well, Susan and Dean, it's Dean's stepmom.
Oh, that way, okay. All right. Yes, Brantley. What? Kevin, is that your dad? Okay. Kevin Holsworth's birthday is coming up on Wednesday. Happy birthday, Kevin. Oh, yeah. Valerie. Savannah. Sorry. On the 16th was Savannah Willinga's birthday. Sorry, missed your name there. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do worship you. And Lord, thank you for the birthdays, so many of them this time of year. And each one of these individuals you know by name, and you have called them to be your own. So thank you for blessing their lives. Father, we do want to pray for Geneva Sorlene and her family, the homegoing yesterday of her husband Lloyd and also her sister. In the same day, we know, Lord, your word says to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so as we pray for them, we pray for Gary and Jane also at the homegoing of Gary's brother Robert. But Lord, still we miss them and still there is sadness, but we know we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope because there is the hope of the resurrection in you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So we ask for your comfort to these families during this time and watching over them and ministering to them. We pray for the Tim Fryer and family, his grandma, Sadie Fryer. Here she's 99, Lord, and you're the one who numbers our days, and you know when you're going to receive us to yourself. So we just pray for Sadie during this time. Don't know the details, but you do, Lord, and that's what counts. Thank you for watching over her and being with the family. For Elton Herbolt, Lord, it's been a struggle here. 2 months ago yesterday was this surgery, and it gets lengthy, but we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for healing through your power, through medical science, the wisdom you've given them. We just trust that if this infection is the root cause, that you are able to drive it from his system and renew his strength. Be with Myrna and the family as well. We pray for this young mother, Teresa, and you know who we mean, Lord. They're in the hospital in Sioux Falls with COVID, with child. Father, give her strength, renew life to her, her lungs, to every part of her being, to that little one that you're knitting together within her womb. We just pray the blood of Jesus Christ over her and the baby within. Thank you, Father, for filling that place with your presence in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. We pray for Tyler Ulmer as his surgery on his ankle to repair this tendon on Tuesday. Thank you for guiding the surgeons as they do this surgery and go before them. And we ask for healing, and we thank you, Lord, for answers that have come, that we can hopefully, Tyler, get back on the road to healing and health and do the job that you've blessed him with, Father. Pray for Ann and family down there in Arizona. Thank you for watching over them and for a safe trip back tomorrow for her. And Lord, we do thank you for safe travels for us and Mark and Carmen over this past week. And for the beauty of your creation in that part of your world, Lord. For our troops, that we pray, Lord, keep them safe. In Jesus' name, for our world, some very tense times, especially there, Ukraine and Russia. Father, we lift that part of our world up. We lift up the leaders, our military advisors, as the interactions are made and decisions are made. Lord God, we ask for peace in that situation. But Father, we know you are sovereign, and you are lining everything up in perfect timing, according to your will and plan for the church and for your second coming and all that has to happen. And so we rest in you, and we are so thankful for this part of the world where you have allowed us to live. We are truly blessed here, Lord. Thank you for these things. Thank you for our healthcare workers locally and throughout our nation. Just give them strength through this time. Thank you for healing to our nation physically, but more than that, spiritually. Jesus, we need a spiritual revival across this land, and we ask for you to open the eyes of the nation to see you, Jesus, as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we do the offering, we're going to receive some new members today. So I'd like those of you to come down, please, to the front here. You know all who you are, and I'll introduce you when you come. So we'll just stand up front here. It's an exciting day to do this. Yeah, you can just stand across the front here in a line and face the congregation, please. Yeah. Don't be nervous. 2, 4, 6. Yes, Matha, come on down. So maybe a lot of you know everybody up here. Maybe some of you don't. So I will give some introductions. So we have Stephanie and Michael Wagner here. And they live northwest of Olivet, a ways up there. And, of course, Michael graduated from high school here. I didn't quite ask him the year. Was it 85? Okay, 1985. And so he works for Vermeer, and they also have hog confinement out there and some cattle, I believe. All right, so busy guy. And Stephanie works out here at Maxwell Colony. She teaches grades 2 through 4 there at the colony and grew up in Sioux Falls, I believe. Yes. And then Emily and Devin Melhoff and Cassandra, who is not quite 2 months old, on next Sunday maybe, huh? The 30th? And we'll have her baptism on February 13th, I believe it is, coming up. So, of course, Devin grew up here, graduated from Menno in 2014. Got to find my notes here. He drives truck, and they also have a hog confinement out there that Emily oversees, I think. Most. He's got it right now till she gets a little ways down the road. Yeah. And she's from Flandreau. Yes, so awesome. Teresa and Earl Newharth, who Earl's grown up here too all of his years, and I'm not sure what year he graduated high school. It's before 1980, somewhere. 73, okay. And Teresa's from Freeman, right? Yes, she was a Graber, and they lived just north of town and farmed there, and Teresa worked at the bank in Freeman for a lot of years and is now retired. And Matha Hess, yeah, who lives here in town and works at the pharmacy, the Heritage Health Pharmacy now, Heritage Health Center, I guess they call it, don't they? And she's very gifted in crafts, and she made, if you look after church at the Lord's Supper, what is that, a diamond, or what do you call it? Diamond painting out there against the west wall. She did that a couple years back and gave it to the church. It's a beautiful diamond painting. So that's who all these people are. And I have some questions for you, which I sent to you, and so you can respond with, we do. Do you acknowledge and profess that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to be Christ's disciples, to follow his word and his will for your lives, and to resist evil and oppression in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating his presence and furthering his mission in all the world? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and the world? If so, answer, we do. All right. Let me have a prayer, please, for you first or next. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for each of these individuals standing here this morning, for their lives, for the gifts and talents that you've put within them, for their individual personalities, and the joy that they bring to our lives as we've known them, and the joy to receive them as members of this local church. Father, we thank you for leading and guiding and drawing them here by the power of your Spirit. Help us as a congregation to receive them with joy, and we pray that together we can grow in our knowledge of you, in our love for you, in our service towards you, Lord God. Thank you for watching over them and protecting them and their livelihood and their families and their business and whatever their jobs, that whatever it might be, give your angels charge over them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a response then here from the congregation. Let us, the members of Salem Reformed Church, express our welcome to Devin and Emily Melhoff, to Matha Hess, to Earl and Teresa Newharth, to Michael and Stephanie Wagner, and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share in the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior. And so in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of Salem Reformed Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church. Amen. Welcome. Congratulations. go. Welcome, Devin and Emily. Earl and Teresa. And Mesa. Thank you. God bless you. Got your sermon ready now?
Well, next week.
Next week. Okay. You can be seated. Okay. And so for the offering, I'm going to read before the offering, which the box, you know, is in back, from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit. Let's stand and we'll sing the Lord's Prayer this morning in place of the doxology. Our Father, which art in Heavenly Father, we worship and praise you, and we thank you for the body of Christ as we work together as a local church to proclaim your word to this community and the region around us, declaring Jesus, as you said, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. And so we have come, and we do, and we give to your work, so that we can continue to proclaim the gospel in this local church and far beyond. Thank you for blessing these gifts, Lord. You are so good, and you are faithful, and you are our provider. All that we have is yours to our very own lives, and we surrender to you today in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now to you through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated, and if the children would come, please. Joni Handel was kind enough to step in for Anne and do our children's time today. Do you? Okay, thank you. it's on. It's the red one. I guess you know. Okay.
So, ooh, sorry, guys.
There we go.
So we just received some new members today. Did you notice that? There's some people that are going to be coming to church and saying hi to you all the time. So are we going to welcome them in and tell them hi back? Give them high fives if they ask for it? Okay. Are you guys good at things? Is there anything that you're good at? Is anybody really good at coloring? Staying in the lines? Yeah? What are you good at, Annabeth? Singing, yeah.
Piano.
Trent? Yeah, I bet you're good at tearing apart things. Do you know how to put them back together? Uh-oh, you'll have to work on that. Is anybody good at basketball? Yeah. Are you guys good at keeping your rooms clean? No. Well, that's another thing you can work on. How's that sound? Okay. So who do you think gave you these special talents to tear things apart and to sing? Who gave them to you, Miles? God, right. Yeah, God gave you all those special talents. So what do you suppose God wants you to do with all these special talents? Does he want you to hide them? Keep them to yourself? No. What does he want you to do? Share them? Tell the truth, right. Yes, God wants us to tell the truth always. Yeah. So do you guys think that the church just, the lights turn on automatically? No. Do you suppose the toilets are always clean automatically? No. Somebody's got to come to the church, and they keep the floors clean, and they turn the lights on. No, you don't do that at all, do you? That's a bad idea. But somebody's got to come to the church, and they keep the windows clean and the garbage taken out. And do you think Pastor maybe has to spend a little bit of time getting his sermon ready on Sundays? Yes, you do, don't you? And the snow outside, do you think that snow just magically stays away? No, somebody's got to come and make sure that the church is all ready, right? So it takes a lot of people to keep this church looking as nice as it does and to make church happen, right? We've got three people in the sound booth back there. They're making sure everything's going right that way. We've got our accompanists, the piano ladies. That hurts when you fall, doesn't it? How about our Sunday school teachers? We got to have our Sunday school teachers to teach us all these things about God. Because we can learn stuff at home with mom and dad, but sometimes our teachers have to teach us more things, right? Mom and dad know a lot, but the teachers know some other things that they've learned too. So we got to help each other out that way, right? Yeah? So in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says this. Right. And do you love God? That's the most important, right? Okay. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God has given us all these special gifts, and we need to work on these gifts all the time, right? How do we work on those gifts? You share them, yeah. And then you come to church, you learn more about them, right? We got to share them with everybody. So we got to, it's like practice. Yeah. So I want you guys to think about all the people that also serve on our different committees at the church. Too. There's a lot of people that do a lot of different things, right? We don't even know about all of them, okay? It takes all of those to bring us all closer to God and to keep this church working and growing, and because they're all praying for everybody at the same time, okay? We are many parts, we are all one body, and the gifts we have are given to share. May the Spirit of love make us one indeed, one the love we share, one our hope and despair, One, the cross that we bear. Should we pray, guys? Father, help us to know what special gift you've given us. Help us to develop our gifts so we can bring ourselves and others closer to you. And all God's children said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joni, for doing that. We'll sing 425 while they're going back to their seats. 425, bind us together. That's our prayer by the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer, as you inspired the Apostle Paul to pray in the letter to the Ephesians, that we would be bound together in the love of God more and more. Our hearts are yours, our lives are yours. Lord, you've given us our different personalities and giftings and all of that. And Lord, as we rub together, sometimes it's sparks fly, maybe. But you work in us, Lord, by your Spirit. You're patient with us, and we thank you for that. You are merciful towards us, and help us to be patient one with another, Lord, as we walk together hand in hand. We love you. We love your word. And so as we look into it now, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, that my words would not be just words of enticing men's wisdom, but by the Spirit and demonstration of the power of the living God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35. This entire chapter, before I start reading, so there were people, this is just 24 years after the resurrection, and we've been seeing this. You got false teachers coming in here to the church at Corinth as well, saying the resurrection of Jesus didn't even happen. And so Paul's inspired by the Holy Ghost to record an entire chapter of 58 verses to deal with it. We're going to look at part of this, verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life until it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, I think you know. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. We'll stop there. It goes on in the same vein through the rest of the chapter, but that's as much as I'll read here this morning. So, as I said, if you're starting your outline there, the letter to the Thessalonians, which we looked at for a couple weeks, 20 years after the resurrection of Christ, already people coming in, denying the resurrection. Some coming in saying, oh, Jesus already has returned. Y'all missed it. You missed it. And the people were getting very distraught. They were just brand new believers in Christ. Then he's writing to the Corinthians 24 years after the resurrection. Same thing. He's got to deal with it. To the Thessalonians, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. You got to know about it. So he's talking, he's getting into this resurrection body that we're going to receive, which is exciting. It should be, I was thinking about this morning when I was shaving, and I thought, it is different, but I'm going to make this comparison, okay? If you're thinking of getting a new car or truck, and don't you get excited about that? You sort of study it out, what model you want, what year you want, the features of it. What about a new tractor or a new used tractor? You don't just go out and, oh, I think I'll pick that one. I don't care. Just give me that one. No, you look into it. Is it going to work for your needs? You get excited about it. Yeah, you probably think about the debt too. Or a new combine or whatever. You learn about it. So we need to be excited as we learn about the resurrected bodies that one day we are going to receive. We care very much about these bodies naturally, don't we? If we didn't care about them, why would there be new tendons put in the ankle? Why would there be new hips put in and new knees and new shoulders and everything else that God has given to medical science today? Because we care about these physical bodies that we live in on this earth, or our bypasses and all, everything that goes on. We have to have them. And then resurrected body, wow, you think about that, is going to be glorious. In the first verses of this 15th chapter of Corinthians, Paul, again, he's going back to the Word. We have to go back to his Word. That is foundation. And he's refuting these people in verse 3 of that chapter. He says, he's saying to them, listen, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Then he goes on, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time. He's saying, and he says there in those two questions where we started in verse 35, back to our text for today, he's coming up there, he's saying, so some of you ask, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body, with what kind of body will they come? And then he says, how foolish. If you look at New Living, he says, what a foolish question. Well, I don't think it's so foolish. But he was saying that to those who were denying the resurrection of Christ. It's foolish you to deny it. It's foolish to deny that there could even be a resurrected, glorified body. And then he's going to go into proving it out. in four ways. He gives this first the analogy. Number one, let's get into this. He's going to use the analogy of a seed. Boy, in a farming rural community, this ought to be about as simple as it comes because you deal with it every day, every year. Maybe I'll say it that way. Verse 36, so what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something. I never have seen any farmer yet go out, save all the corn stalks from the fall. Okay, kids, this is what we're digging up the trench in the fields. All right, I want you lay all the corn stalks out here in a row. That's how we're planting the next harvest. Now, we know that's foolish, isn't it? Or do you, Leah, does your dad tell you, okay, kids, you take all these corn cobs out, you lay them in the ground, and we're going to cover them up like that? That's foolish, isn't it? No, this is what comes, but we take the seeds. Don't, this is my squirrel corn I'm sacrificing here today. I thought they had forgot about me over the last week because they had no corn for a week. But they came back yesterday, sure enough, as I put the ears out there. No, you lay the seed in the ground one by one along in the row, and out comes a stalk with a couple ears on it and thousands, hundreds of seeds, the corn that we enjoy. So he's saying, but God gives it a body just as he has determined, and to each kind a seed, he gives its own body. He determined it. He set it into motion. It was bam. When he spoke it into being, it was. It wasn't over a million years out of a little amoeba and whatever else. No, he spoke it. An acorn, we think, in the tree. An apple seed and all that comes from that. It is incredible. God gives it a body as he is determined. Why is he doing this? He's bringing it as simple as it can be to them, to us. He's proven the point. If God can do this with nature, with his creation, he can do it with us as human beings. Second, so he goes into the form. In other words, the body itself, okay? Remember the two questions. How are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? 39, verse 39. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. We know that. Animals have another. Birds another. Fish another. Then he said there's heavenly bodies and there's earthly bodies. So these earthly bodies are different because he already went through animals, humans, birds, fish. Okay, the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind. The splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another. And he says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead, us people. So creative God is. I said to Anne when we were sitting in the Cancun airport waiting on the flight back, of course she was going to Houston, but we were at gates right beside each other. I said, isn't it just fun to watch the people? I love doing that. All the different colors and shapes and sizes and, of course, languages from all over the world. There at our resort, anyway, you had Argentina, Brazil, Peru, Colombia, all those people there. You had Europeans over there from Scotland and England and in those countries. And then Canadians and Americans and all just there together. And it's just interesting to watch. So the heavenly bodies, of course, sun, moon, and stars. God set them all in their place, in motion, at the exact time. The earthly bodies, okay? I said that he already addressed humans, animals, birds. Yes, we are on the earth. But here it seems he's talking more about like the sand, the rocks, the crystals. In the cave, what Thursday morning, we did one excursion. We went in an Airbnb excursion. A little risky, some might say, but Carmen assured us it was safe. We went an hour out of Cancun into the jungle, literally, where the indigenous people live. It was so cool. And we went into these two cenotes. You know what a cenote is? I didn't. It's a cave underground, but it's filled with water. So to go in it, you get to swim in it. The first was an open cenote where the roof of the cave had over the centuries eroded and collapsed. So that, but it's just amazing to see. Of course, yes, my wife did a zip line off into the water. Ah! Did I? No, you know that. Second one was a closed cenote where the covering was still over the cave, and did go in there and with snorkel and the goggles, and you look in the water and see all the formations, the stalactites, stalagmites, and all whatever they are. It was amazing to see. So the earthly bodies, it's incredible. Again, he's trying to prove the point. If God can do this with the natural creation of these things, why can't he do it with us, giving us a resurrected body? Third, verse 42, going on. Oh, the contrast, that's your blank. So he's given the contrast between our body that we live in on this earth and the resurrected body that we're going to get. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, this body, is perishable. It is. We see that we had three different deaths mentioned here this morning. This body is subject to decay. We know that. Back in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, therefore we don't lose heart, though outwardly we're perishing. Meaning, yeah, this body gets older. No matter what age you're at right now, if you think you're just the most healthy person and praise the Lord, and you look at older people and you sort of think, I'm never going to be that way. Guess what? All of us who are that way thought that very same thing at one time. It happens. It happens. We were playing, I'll just wait. Okay, it's sown, the body that is sown, when is it sown? Tomorrow, Gary's brother Robert, in the casket, will be laid down into the earth, sown. That body is perishable. It will decay over time. It will be raised, if we know Jesus, raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, okay? Now, these bodies, your bodies ever disappoint you? Yeah, in many ways. Could be in ways of sin. Yeah. Oh my gosh, why did I do that? Could be in ways, again, as the years go on, you can't do what you used to do. And that's frustrating. We played pickleball three or four afternoons. That's on a tennis court, but it's smaller. As people get older, they like that better than tennis because you don't have to move so far. So Mark brought the paddles, and it is really fun. He's very good, of course. I'm not. So he's okay, you got to stand there, Michael. I'm serving, you stand there. All this da-da-da, whatever. So then if the Carmen or Ann returns it short, he says, run, meaning get up there to the net and hit it. I said, Mark, I can't quite move that fast anymore because I couldn't get up there. They're sown in dishonor and they're raised in glory. The resurrected body is glorious. They're sown in weakness. Yeah. Raised in power. They are sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. These new bodies. Incredible. Again, I talked about all the part replacements, what people try to do. Some people, if you want to do this, it's totally up to you. Some, you know, go get facelifts. One minister on TV, this was years back, Ann used to listen to, and as the years went on, one day I said to Ann, as she was watching her, I said, she had to get a facelift. Because now her face is always like this. She's an awesome teacher of the Word of God. But it's like this, and it never was like that before. So, anyway, we do all these things for these natural bodies, and the resurrected body, Won't have to do that. Praise the Lord. Number four, the model or the prototype of this is Jesus, of course. We see it in Jesus, the picture of this resurrected body for 40 days from when he rose from the dead on that what we call Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. Those 40 days he lived on the earth until he ascended into heaven. And we see the picture of him in that resurrected, glorified body. Verse 45, so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. Adam is in Adam and Eve, right? The last Adam, as in Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, in other words, the natural body, he's saying. Yes, Jesus existed long before Adam and Eve, we know that. But as far as the human being, and after that came the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, Jesus, so are those who are of heaven. In other words, speaking of us in that resurrected body. The dust. He talks about the dust there. You know Genesis. I've got to find where I had those verses quick. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You go over to chapter 3, Genesis, after the sin, the curse, God speaking to Adam and Eve, to the serpent. And he says to Adam, by the sweat of your brow you will eat food until you return to the ground. For since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And so it is. So we wait for that resurrected, glorified body. And if you read later today, verse 50, he goes more into that, but I'm not going to have time. But he speaks about that. You are going to be changed. Same as we saw in Thessalonians, in a flash, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How do we see Jesus in his resurrected, glorified body during those 40 days? Could he eat? Yes. Could they touch him? Yes. Yes, he had a resurrected, glorified, physical, flesh and blood body, and he does in heaven today. It's the cult groups that get off and say, well, no, he really didn't raise in bodily form. No, he did. And God's word says he did clearly. Mary Magdalene, when she was at the tomb and she grasped him, he said, don't hang on to me yet, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He ate that one when he went up to the Sea of Galilee, where he told his disciples to meet him, and they were out on the boat. Peter said, let's go fishing. They were so distraught. They just didn't know what was going to happen. And he was on the shore cooking up some fish on the fire. And they come back, and he ate with them, the fish. He could appear as he did in that upper room, just like that. Boom! There he was. They could touch him. What did he tell Thomas? Put your hand here, my hands. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas did, my Lord and my God, right? He believed. And he could vanish from them just like that. He could walk through a door when it was shut. Right? That's just a picture of part of what it will be like in the resurrected, glorified body. And that's what we look forward to. So as you dream about natural things, as I started out, a new car, a new truck, a new combine or whatever, and you study it all, so yeah. It's all right to think, wow, that's going to be glorious. I just had someone yesterday afternoon. I was at our care center here, and I walked her down after I visited. She wanted to walk with me towards where I leave, and she says, I know, I'm going a little slow now. She says, won't it be so great in heaven when we get our new bodies? I said, yes, it will be. When you come to that point, you're thinking all the more about it and how glorious it's going to be. And as Paul told the church at Thessalonica, encourage each other with these words. And as I said, as we wait for this, whether we die a natural death or whether Jesus returns and takes us out of here, we don't know what's going to happen first. But I said, the only way to be ready for the unexpected day is to be ready, what? If you don't remember. Somebody said it, every day. The only way to be ready for the unexpected way, you better be ready, is to be ready
every day.
Thank you. Every day. And that is by knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that is the only way. The only way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you for your teaching, Lord, through all these phases and parts of our life. Yes, we thank you for the joys of living on this earth. Family and friends and careers and all that we have to enjoy. But Lord, we also thank you for what you promised us that is coming. Help us to look forward to that just as much and to be ready. If we're not, Lord, you know each of our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. Today we surrender to you. Lord, we say, forgive me of my sin, Jesus. I am sorry. And I ask you to wash me and cleanse me in your very own blood. Help me to draw closer to you each and every day in your word and in prayer. Thank you for this congregation, for watching over them and blessing them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so we have songs that we sing about all of this. Some glad morning, when this life is gone, I'll fly away. Let's stand and sing that. 779. Please receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, we will sing, God Bless America. You may be seated. Thank you, Joanne, for the music. Ladies, remember the meeting, and you can head back whenever you want.